And that's right, don't laugh at me. This here is Big Dot with you, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, on another Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, saying welcome one, welcome all to our program tonight, especially our surrounding countries and states, and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. We'd be glad to have your comments, questions, prayer requests, prayer praises, as well as you just saying how we're doing. But tonight, we got a real special show online for you, because not only do we have Brother Quick with us tonight, going to give us another good message, but tonight he let us in on a little secret today. Earlier today, he let me in on the secret that this is his anniversary between him and his wife, and he'll be coming live from a hotel room where they're at celebrating their anniversary. He'll have to let you know how many years. I forgot exactly how many. I know it's after his 50th anniversary, so they've been together quite a long time. So, if there's others on the line here, if you want to say happy anniversary, we'll give you a chance just before we play a nice anniversary song for him.
Hello, Kenny.
All right, Emily. Brother if you Chris, want to say happy anniversary, go ahead.
Happy anniversary, Brother Quick, and your beautiful wife.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Brother Quick, I was just going to ask you and Sister Quick to be keeping me in prayer. I had to have a procedure today with my big toe on my left foot. I had to have a partial nail taken out of my off the bed of the toenail, so I'm in a little bit of pain tonight, but yet I'm still on here.
All right, I hear you. We'll be praying for you, hon.
Also,
all right,
still
and
I'm praying about the housing situation too.
All righty, and from me, of course, Brother Quick, I want to say happy anniversary, but at the same time, we're going to do it in a song for you, and here we go. Well. All right, Brother Six, you want to say your piece there? We got your mic open.
Well. It's a special day. Happy 53rd anniversary for First Lady Quick and Brother Quick from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Happy 53rd anniversary. Yay!
Well, thank you very much, but you're just a couple of years off. It's 55.
Oh, 55?
Yeah, we'll forgive you for
Ken?
Well, I told him I wasn't sure if it was 53 or 55. I knew it was close.
All right. Happy 55th anniversary.
Hey, yes. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
And may you have many more, Brother and Sister Quick.
Well, we're just planning on it. Amen.
All right.
Thank you very much.
And now we are ready
call.
For Brother Quick to give us a good message. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm ready to start.
Go ahead, Brother.
My trailer is backed up for a load.
All right. I've been speaking to you, you know, over the past few weeks on the subject of being born again. And just a few weeks ago, I brought a message out of John 3:16, out of the three-letter word for. It was because Nicodemus had come to Jesus, remember, story in verse 1 or verse 2 of chapter 3. And Nicodemus was full of questions. And Jesus gave Nicodemus the answer that he really wasn't looking for, but he needed. Because Jesus said in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so the Lord brought these three words to my attention. The first word for in verse 16, the first word for in verse 17, and the first word for in verse 20. And God just set it down to me, and he said, study it out. And so I did. And Jesus was still talking to Nicodemus, and he was answering Nicodemus' questions. And so that first four in verse number 16 gives us the fact of Jesus letting Nicodemus know that he was prepared to handle the question of being born again. And then verse number 17, where it starts out with four. It says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And that second word, "for," gives us the fact of God giving his purpose to Nicodemus to help answer all of the questions that Nicodemus had. And then that last one in verse 20, it's actually verse 20 and verse 21, where Jesus gave him being born again. Because Jesus told him, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." And so we looked at the three-letter word "for," and I did my best to explain it to us in those three usages there. And so this evening, I want to go back to John 3:16. We're going to start there one more time. And what I want to do, I want to bring a message that's going to help each one of us understand that after we have been born again, what are we supposed to be doing? And I want you to understand everything that I say this evening, because I'm going to lead from one passage of Scripture to another passage of Scripture to help us to understand the business of being born again. John 3:16, listen to it again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That two-letter word, "so." That word, "so," goes way beyond comprehension of the human mind. You understand, when God so loved the world, he didn't just love a community. He didn't just love a state. He didn't love a country. God so loved the world. That means every conceived person in the world. And that's a whole lot of conceived people, ladies and gentlemen, because right now there's over 4 billion souls in the world, and that's just right now. And this is the year 2021. There's been 2,000 years all along there that we don't know anything about how many people were here. But then this earth has been here, and man has been here on this earth since around 4,004. And so since the days of Adam, Adam lived to be 930 years old. God so loved Adam just as much as God so loved you and me this day. And we cannot understand what that word "so" means. And what that's going to do to those of us who have been born again, it's going to cause for us to have a great deal of thankfulness to bring to the Lord every day of our life and many times through the days of our lives. Because there's times when God puts us through trouble. He does that to train us. There's other times when God saves us out of trouble. We don't even know that. But we need to be thanking God every day because God so loved you and God so loved me that he sent his only begotten Son to come to this earth, be born of the Virgin, and live a sinless, perfect life and pay the price for every man's sin debt, every man that has ever lived from Adam and Eve right on up until this day and age. That's what God did. He so loved the world. And we can't even begin to understand what that word "so" means. You see, there is no possible way to even explain that word "so." It is impossible to understand the love of God toward man. Listen to this. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet his enemies, while we were yet still right there along with the scribes and Pharisees, hollering out, crucify him, crucify him. All that time, Christ died for us. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the only begotten Son of God. That's the one that God the Father sent to this earth to pay your sin debt and my sin debt by laying his life on the cross and giving it in fulfillment of the law. He did not sin. He could not sin because he was God as much as he was man. And he paid every man's sin debt. Well, we cannot understand the love of God. Listen to this verse in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Paul says in verse number 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a whole lot more love than you and I can ever understand in this life as a human being. That's how much he loves for us. That's how much he loves us. You see, the love of God is past our understanding. We have to give him thanks. Every day of our life, we have to give him thanks because Jesus thought so much of me, so much of my wife, so much of our children, so much of our grandchildren, and so much of everybody else that he sent Jesus down here to live that sinless, perfect life in order to pay this the price of the law so that the law could be fulfilled because no man could ever fulfill the law. That was an impossibility. Saul of Tarsus was doing his best to try and fulfill the law, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Neither could anybody else. Well, Jesus came, and he fulfilled the law, and he died in my place and in your place so that we could know what it would mean for us to be thankful unto the Lord for something really real, and that is our soul's satisfaction of being born again. Well, let's look at another one of these words, soul. We find this in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 14. Listen to what this verse says. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. What in the world does it mean when we read, his visage was so marred more than any man? I'll tell you what that means, that Jesus was beaten more than any man before him, and he was beaten more than any man since him. In our day and age, there's been much bloodshed all over this world. We've got those that hate Christianity all around this world. They're hating Christians. They are just, they're killing them. They're just putting them through such pain, such agony. But listen, Jesus went through a whole lot more than that just to be able to pay our sin debt. Let me read that verse of scripture to you again. It's Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. Oh, listen. Day when Jesus was crucified, men and women had seen many, many crucifixions. But when we read the Word of God, we find that when Jesus was hung on that cross, the crowds gathered around and they would not go anywhere. They stayed there they were looking to see if there was going to be some kind of a miracle that they would be able to see themselves. Oh, listen. They were astonished. They were appalled. They were awestruck. They were shocked. What does that word astonished mean? It means they had seen many crucifixions, but none beaten as much as what Jesus had been beaten and still be alive. They heard Jesus pray shortly after they hung him on the cross. He said in Luke chapter 23, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, they heard that. They heard something else also. They heard it when Jesus was praying with one of the thieves that died with him right there in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The crowds that had gathered around that weren't going anywhere, they heard Jesus say those words. Oh, but there was something else they heard Jesus say. Luke chapter 23 and verse 43 tells us that Jesus yelled loudly. He had been beaten beyond recognition. He was like a piece of raw meat hanging on that cross. And yet Jesus yelled loudly. What did he yell? It is finished. Oh, my soul. The crowd still wouldn't go anywhere. After he died, the crowds finally decided they would start leaving. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing how the crowds knew he was going to die. There was two other ones that was crucified right along with him. They knew these three were going to die, but they had made up their minds they were not going anywhere until they saw what would happen to Jesus. That just amazes me. It blows my mind. You see, as many were astonished at thee, they were so, his visage was so marred. They couldn't even recognize him. He'd been beaten so much. Well, isn't that amazing? And you and I, who have been born again, you and I have nothing more that we can ever complain to our Lord for. We have got a whole lot of being thankful to get made up, because there's been so many days when we have not been thankful. There's been so many days when we would rather grumble and complain about what was going on around us instead of thanking God that his hand was there to help us through it. Isn't that amazing? Well, there's one more verse that I want to look at, and this verse is over in the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5, and verse number 16. Now listen to this. This is where Jesus was talking about those who have been born again. He had already been instructing his disciples what was going to be taking place, and he was telling them, he said, in verse number 12, he said, Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Listen to this. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his favor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Oh, but verse number 16 says this. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Listen to this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. I have done some word study, because I have done some language. I've had the languages in college. I still work with the languages. And this word so, coming to us out of John chapter 3 and verse 16, or out of Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14, or Matthew 5:16, this word soul comes to us out of the same family of connections. It comes to us out of the same family of connections. Now listen to this. If you want to know what's going on, you need to understand what Jesus has done for you. And when you have been born again, and you know for a fact that you have been born again, you know for a fact that if your heart quits beating right now, you'll be home and with the Lord in heaven just that fast, because you know for a fact that your sins have been forgiven. You've been born again. Well, what are we supposed to do now that we know that we're born again? Let your light so shine before men. How much are we supposed to let our light so shine before men? Well, listen up here. No explanation for the love of God for the wicked man in John 3:16. No explanation for the awful beatings and awful pain and suffering that Jesus went through to pay man's sin debt in Isaiah chapter 52. There is no explanation for how much witnessing any saint should do. You see, it seems like we are always asking God to meet our every need whenever we pray. But it seems like there's one need that we overlook day after day after day. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this verse of scripture out of Ephesians chapter 3. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in the inner man. You know what that means? That means for those of us who have been born again, we know we've been born again. We have the Spirit of God that is living in our hearts. And that's where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from the Spirit of God that lives within our heart. He's the one that empowers us. He's the one that fills us. He's the one that helps us all the way through. And that verse tells us one more time that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Wowsy, dowsy, wow. There's where our strength comes from. You know those days that you've not been able to shout and hallelujah and all that stuff because you just loaded down with the loads and cares and sins and all that kind of, you know why? Because you have forgotten about the fact that you need to be strengthened in your inner man. That comes from the Holy Ghost. That's exactly where it comes from. You see, we are told that Jesus can save anywhere and everywhere. But worse, let our light so shine before men. We're to tell Jesus, or tell people, how that Jesus can save anybody, anywhere. There is no measurement to our witness. We should never have a day of our life when we do not find somebody to witness to and tell them what Jesus has done in our heart. Jesus can do the same thing in their heart. Amen. Amen. And then Matthew 5:16 tells us exactly how much we should be witnessing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's going to take a whole lot of witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, because it seems like when we go to tell somebody about Jesus and somebody else will come along and they'll say, oh, man, that sure sounds good. I'm sure glad I'm able to hear you. And you see what they're doing? They're praising us. Us is not what's supposed to be praised. Jesus is the one that's supposed to be praised, and we're to let our light so shine before men. Let it shine so much that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Oh, listen to me. God called me to preach 48 years ago. God called me into evangelism about 30-something years ago. I've had the privilege of preaching all around this nation. I've had the privilege of preaching in meetings where it was just so tight. There was so much opposition and oppression. I couldn't hardly preach. My two boys and I, we sung around this nation, and we made up the Quick family. And there's been times when it's been so difficult to sing because of that same oppression coming in from demonic oppression. Somebody was there that didn't want to hear anything from God, didn't want anybody else to hear anything from God. But, oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I have seen God step in and do miraculous things and step in and save sinners that tried to tell me that they were all right. But before the service got over, they were crying out to God because they knew they had never been born again. Oh, but when they got up from being born again, you talk about shine. I mean, they just shined like there was some kind of a light inside of them. Well, there was. The Spirit of God was living inside of them then. And they had a story to tell. They had a story to tell, just like I've got a story to tell. Oh, listen, there's no way that we can ever witness too much. I've had preachers to tell me how that they wanted to go and witness to somebody, but they were talking to some sinner that really needed to hear about Jesus, but they just didn't feel led to witness. They didn't feel led to witness. Wow. I questioned one of them one day. I said, how is it that you think you've got to feel led to witness to somebody? He said, well, I just have to, I've got to feel like the Lord wants me to witness to them. I said, you need to get your head out of the sand, son. You're a preacher of the gospel, and it's your responsibility to witness to everyone everywhere you go. And I quoted Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 to him. Well, there's been a man or two that's gotten mad at me over that, but then there's been other men. The next time I saw them, they have come and hugged my neck and said, thank you, Brother Quick. I'm sure glad you told me what you told me the last time I was around you. I'm sure glad that you told me that, because there's been a big time witness in my life that's changed, and God is using me wonderfully. Well, I've been speaking to you for weeks about the fruit, the need of being born again. Been preaching to you about the fact of you need to be born again. You need to know that you're born again. I've talked to people, many, many people now through the years, and they've always told me, oh, yeah, I've been born again. I trusted Christ. And I say to them, well, what changed in your heart? What changed in your living when you trusted Christ? And, you know, there's a whole bunch of people who couldn't answer that. They couldn't even give me an answer of any kind. They couldn't tell me anything that had changed. You know why? Because they had prayed some sinner's prayer, and the Spirit of God had not put conviction on their heart, and they didn't know what it meant to be saved after all. Amen. But you see, when we get saved, when we get born again, there is a responsibility that God has laid before us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not glorify you. No, no, no. Not glorify me. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. We're to witness until they see our works and glorify God in heaven. When we see that taking place, then we'll know that we got close to witnessing like we're supposed to be witnessing. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I've been speaking to you a little bit here tonight. How can I ever have witnessed enough? I can't. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't witness too much either. You see, my wife and I have been married for 55 years now, and I have been a mechanic now through the years. And one time I was needing some parts for my vehicle that I was working on, and I was all greasy and everything, and I said to my wife, I said, honey, I got to run over to such and such town, and I got to pick up these parts because I've called them, and they've got the parts, and I got to go and get them. She said, well, I'll ride with you. So I cleaned up my hands best what I could, and I had grease all over my head and everything, you know what I mean? I was a mechanic, you know. And I went and I got the parts that we needed and started back home. And before I could get out of that town, my wife stopped me. She says, Mama, or she says, honey, I've got to stop and see our grandparents because they're living in that home just outside of town, at this town here. God's told me I've got to stop and witness to them. God's told me to do that. We got to go there. I said, well, honey, I am so dirty. I don't dare go in there. She said, but I'm not dirty, and I've got to go in there because God told me I've got to go in there. So I went over there, and we had prayer, and she went in, and I sat there in the car. And pretty soon here she come out, and she just weeping like a baby. And I thought, what in the world happened? She got in the car, and she wiped the tears away a little bit, and she says, well, listen to me. And I says, I'm listening. She says, the Lord just helped me. Both of them see their need, and both of them prayed a sinner's prayer and trusted Christ to save them. Her grandfather was 92 years old. Her grandmother was 86 years old. Paul died that same year. He didn't get to his 93rd birthday. He died that same year. Oh, listen. There was such a change that took place in their lives. Paul had been one that had smoked a pipe probably most all of his life. And one of my wife's uncles came to her shortly after these two had trusted Christ. And he said, you know, he said, there's something strange happened to Paul. She said, what do you mean? He said, well, he says, he laid that pipe down. He don't even want to have any tobacco around him at all anymore. She said, well, how long did he smoke? He said, well, man, he smoked that for a whole lot of years. I don't know what happened. She said, well, I do. He said, what? She said, they trusted Christ. And he looked back at my wife, and he said, that must be what it was. Isn't that amazing? This grandpa and this grandma had just come back to their room when my wife walked in. They'd been at some church service. And my wife didn't have her Bible with her. She says, y'all's going to have to take my word for this because I don't have a Bible, but I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. And Paul looked at my wife and he says, well, you know, we've been waiting for somebody to come and tell us how to get saved. Isn't that amazing? 92 years old, he was still waiting for somebody to come and tell him how to get saved. That just blows my mind. He died and went home to be with the Lord that same year. And for several years, Grandma, she'd get beside herself. We'd go up and see her, and she'd just get to weeping. And she'd look at me and she says, listen, I just want to go and be where Paul's at. That's all I want. I just want to go and be where Paul's at. Well, I think she died when she was 92 also. And she went home to be with the Lord also. But you see, the power of witnessing. The power of witnessing. My wife says, I can't go home. We've got to stop there. I've got to tell them about Jesus. And she went and told them about Jesus. And they both prayed and ask Christ to save them. Isn't that amazing? Just all we got to do is start listening to the Lord, and he'll tell us where we need to go and witness. He'll tell us who we need to go witness to. Amen. He'll tell us how to witness. Don't tell me you don't know how to witness and tell people anything about Jesus. If you know Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, all you got to do is just stop them and say, hey, listen, I need to tell you what God did for me. And I want you to understand what Jesus did for my soul. And he can do the same thing for you. And you can listen to people, pray, and ask Christ to save their soul just by witnessing to them, by telling them that. Just that's all you need. That's all you need. Just tell them what happened to you. Amen. Tell them what happened to you. We've been at the same address now for a good number of years. I need to give it to you just in case you'd like to drop me a note, drop me a prayer reminder or something like that. 1122. 1122. That's exactly what the numbers are. 1122. Church Street. And that's in Waycross, Georgia. 31501. Let me give it to you one more time. 1122 Church Street, Waycross, that's spelled W-A-Y-C-R-O-S-S, one word, Georgia, 31501. And just put Dr. Doug Quick, and it'll get to us. Amen. And I want to hear what God has done for you. I want you to just drop me a note and let me know how it is that you've been listening and how it is that God's been dealing with your heart and how God's been helping you. I want you to do that because that would be such an encouragement to me. Oh, listen. Encouragement is something that every born-again child of God needs. I get a whole lot of my encouragement in my prayer time. I spend a whole lot of time in prayer before God. I talk to the Lord late at night. I've got a long prayer request. I pray that through that prayer request every night. I'll pray through that prayer request during the daytime several times every day. I'll pray every time I go to my office before I even open a book up. I stop and I pray. I'm asking God to help me, and he does help me, and he can help you also. You see what it takes to be born again? It takes somebody to bow their heart, bow their head, close their eyes if you want, and just pray and ask God to help you because you need to get a hold of him in order to repent for your sin. And when you go to repent for your sin, then you ask Christ to save your soul. And I promise you, there's going to be a change take place in your heart before you get up off your knees. I promise you it'll go that way. It went that way with me. My daddy told me it went that way with him. My wife told me it went that way with her. Oh, listen. It's important to listen, ladies and gentlemen. It's important that you listen to what God is speaking to your heart about right now. And if you do know Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, if you do know that you're born again, then you, just like me, have got a whole lot of people around that you need to start stopping and saying, hey, let me tell you what happened to me. God saved my soul. Let me tell you how it happened to me. And just go ahead and tell them how it was that you trusted Christ. And then look back at them and say, and you know, the same thing can happen with you. If you just pray and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin and ask him to save your soul, the same thing will happen to you. And you'll find there'll be a whole lot of strength when you go to witness in the people and you stop and find somebody, just the first person that will stop and listen to you and bow their head and pray and trust Christ to save them. Listen, they'll come back and tell you about it. And that will encourage you. And that's what we need. We need encouragement. How do we get that encouragement? We get that encouragement by witnessing everywhere we go. Every day. Every day. That's how we get our trust. That's how we get our strength, is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my address one more time. 1122 Church Street, Waycross, one word, W-A-Y-C-R-O-S-S, Georgia, 31501. Drop me a line. Just let me know how it is that the Lord is helping you. Drop me a line. Just let me know how much that you have learned, how much you have been encouraged. Just drop me a line. Drop me a line. Tell me that. Drop me a line and tell me about something that you want to be prayed over. And we'll pray over it. We certainly will. Emily, we'll be praying for you this week. There's no doubt about that at all. We'll be praying for you. Brother Ken, we pray for you every day. Six Eyes, I pray for you every day. I'm glad to be able to do that because you people have already done so much for me, and I'm just glad for that. Well, amen, Brother Ken. That's going to be the end of it. I hope that I have helped you along with everybody else with those things that the Lord gave me to say tonight.
Amen. And Brother Quick, I'm going to be playing a song real quick here, like an invitational song, and we'll let you give an invitation, all right?
Do that, please.
And here you go.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
our mics are back open there. Anybody got any prayer requests or whatever? We'll take those real quick here.
I just say pray for the world. That covers everybody.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hey, Brother Quick.
Yes.
I just received a text message from my daughter. She's asking for prayer for her entire team members and staff members at the hospital where she works.
Okay.
All right. And of course, Brother Quick, I'm still, just to let you know, our blind ministry is still praying that somehow, somewhere around the world, wherever somebody may have, maybe in the United States here somewhere, a church may have an old bus or something that they'd be willing to donate us so we could go out and do the work that God called us to do, blind camp, blind school, to witness the gospel. So be praying about that.
We are praying about that, Ken.
All right. Well, just still looking for that prayer request. We still got that, still praying about it. That's why I asked you to continue to pray about that. All right. So, Brother Quick, we're going to ask you to give us a closing prayer with all these prayer requests, and then we'll be headed out of here tonight.
All right. Well, for those of you that have listened tonight, I'm glad that you've listened. And I know that the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. And there could very well be somebody tonight that's listened that has never trusted Christ to save their soul. I would hope that you would understand the importance of it. You can't just say, well, I'll do this tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. That's a fact now. Tomorrow may never come for you, and you better not be putting it off. So those of us who do know Christ need to be very much in prayer for the needs of those around us that we know about. And Emily, we'll be praying for you this week. We'll be praying for your daughter, asking prayer for the staff at the hospital where she works. And Ken, we're going to keep right on praying for that bus. There's a bus out there someplace that God is going to give you if you just be faithful in praying. Amen. You see, so many times we give up what we're praying for. We give up too soon. And the answer will be coming if we just keep on being faithful and keep on asking the Lord, because that's just how it works. There's so many times when we've prayed for things, and then I've just kind of, you know, just got, I don't know, weak, I guess, and quit praying over it. And somebody would come up to me and they'd say, Brother Quick, I was wondering if you're praying for such and such. And I'd say, yes, I am. And I would have to repent, because that was something that I had kind of put on the back burner and quit praying for them. And so listen to me. When you've got something that you need to be praying over, call us and tell us about it. Ken's got a phone number where you can get a hold of him, and he can put it down, and we'll be in touch back and forth, and that's a good way to do it. If you got a pencil and paper, ink pen and paper, write something and send it to us, and we'll be glad to get that, because that's what helps us. But listen, I just believe with all my heart that there are those tonight, again, that have listened here, and you don't know what it means to know Christ as your personal Savior. There's some that could be listening tonight, and you could say, well, I prayed a sinner's prayer, but nothing ever happened. Well, don't count on that to get you into heaven. Because if you prayed a sinner's prayer and nothing ever happened, It's because you didn't get a hold of God. Amen. And that's the whole thing of it right there. That's the reason for praying. That's the reason for witnessing. Because we need to get a hold of God. And we need to be able to get something going in our own hearts first before we can get something going for anybody else. So any need that you've got, call Ken. And he'll be getting a hold of me on that. Otherwise, drop me a note. And we'll sure enough be glad to share that with everybody the next time that we come on here. And Ken, all I can do is just pray. That's all I can do, just pray. All I can do is pray for those needs that you've given me, and I'll keep right on a praying because I know if there's more needs than that we don't know about yet. And so, people, listen, this is serious business. This is a very serious business. You need to get right with God. You need to get to where you can understand what the Lord wants you to do. You need to do that. And when you know that God has saved your soul, then you need to find some place where you can sit down with somebody and tell them what Jesus has done in your heart. And they will listen to you. That's the whole thing of it right there. So just help us to understand how to pray for you, because, and that's why Ken asked for prayer requests. You give the prayer request, and we will be praying. That's for sure. We will be praying. And Ken, thank you so much. And Six Eyes, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate all that you all have done on our behalf, and we just really, really appreciate you for that.
Brother Quick.
Yes, ma'am.
I was also going to be asking you and Sister Quick, as well as the listeners out there, I had to have my blood cell count done again today. And it's depending on what the blood cell count is on when I can get a bone marrow transplant done.
Okay. All right, tell me one more time what it is that you need, Emily.
I had been fighting bone marrow cancer. They redid the cell count as far as my red and white blood cell count done today after I saw the doctor about my foot. And it depends on what they find as a result of this recent cell count on whether they have found any more cancerous cells showing in the bone marrow, because if they have, it's going to mean going through another 4 rounds of radiation and chemo, which has been getting me really sick, even though they've had to put them on hold right now.
Okay. And so you're fighting bone cancer?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we'll be praying for you, sis.
I've been dealing with it for going on 4 years.
All right.
Kenny can tell you, no matter how bad I feel, even when I felt like a pile of horse manure, and I've told Ken, hey, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to make sure you get to the store. One day I may not be feeling too good, and I may ask him if we could put it off a day. But that next day, no matter how junky I feel, I get out there, I do, and I keep my word. No matter how bad I feel, I push through the way I feel.
Okay, well, that's very good. That's very good.
Which my doctors yell at me for not laying my tail down when I'm supposed to. They did today.
Uh-huh. All right. Yeah, Brother Quick, you want to give us a closing prayer?
I can do that. I just want to wait just for another minute here, if in case there's someone else that needs to give us a prayer request before I do pray. And we'll just wait just for a minute. And you're praying, I know. And Brother Six Eyes, I know that you're praying. And I appreciate your prayer support so very much. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for these moments together again this night. Thank you, Lord, because you're working in hearts. I know that for a fact. I believe Brother Ken knows that. Brother Six Eyes knows that. We know that, Lord. We know that you're working in hearts. And we're just going to keep right on doing what we're doing until you will encourage us by letting us know somebody has been needing what we've been given and that someone has come to know Christ. We need to know that. Not just so that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, boy, we're really getting the job done. No, 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 no. We need to understand, Lord, that this is all about you. All about you. That's why Jesus came to this earth. That's why God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son here. That's why Jesus came. And when he came here, he came to pay the sin debt for every human being to ever be. There's a verse of scripture in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And Lord, that has always been such an encouragement to my heart. And I'm glad that you put it in your word as to where we can read it and get such help and encouragement from it. So, Lord, just help us to keep right on going for you. I pray that you'd help Brother Six Eyes, that you just keep your hand upon him and strengthen him. Help Brother Ken, keep your hand upon him, strengthen him. I'm asking for Miss Emily tonight. Lord, that you just keep your hand upon this girl. She's been fighting this cancer thing for some 4 years. And that's wonderful that you've given her 4 years. But, Lord, she needs to understand. She needs to do what the doctors are telling her to do. That's the only way that she can keep on going, is to listen to the doctors and do what they tell her to do. And I know that she's going to do that. And, Father, I'm just asking now for this bus. Brother Ken's been asking for the ministry that they have so they can get into some of these blind camps and give the gospel. And I would plead with you that you would touch somebody's heart, because somewhere there is a bus sitting there. It's not being used right now. I understand that, Lord. I understand that. And I'm just asking you right now that you start speaking to hearts and that you just help Ken with this bus and just help them to get this thing going where they can get out and spread the word of God to those that don't have it yet. And I'm asking now for everybody in this world, because this world is big, it's huge, it's large, and there are a lot of people in this world. Well, number one, there's a lot of people that's never heard about Christ. There's a lot of people in this world that's dying and going to hell because they've never trusted Christ. There's a lot of people in this world that need to hear what we're doing. They need to pick the radio up and just listen to what we're doing here, because we know for a fact how you will work in their hearts and do the same thing in their heart as what you've done in ours. So I'm asking now that you just strengthen each one of us, encourage our hearts this week. Give us some kind of an answer that will really encourage our hearts this week, and we'll sure thank you and praise you. Now just be with us and help us to keep on going on for you. That's what we've been put here for. That's what we intend to do. And we just want to thank you because you've allowed for us to have all this time together. Thank you for my wife and for 55 years
That's just wonderful, Lord. It's just wonderful. And I'm just glad for all that you've done for the both of us for all those years. And we're just thanking you, and we just trust you for more years to come yet. Well, Lord, just help us now, and we'll sure enough thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, and just for those that wish to contact me via phone so I could get those prayer requests off to Brother Quick, the number is 1-440-789-9411. Once again, 1-440-789-9411. Just leave a message. If I don't pick up, just leave a message, and I will definitely get those prayer requests off to Brother Quick. Once again, his address, if you wish to send them directly to him, 1122 Church Street, Waycross, 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 Georgia. And you want to give that zip again one more time, Brother Quick?
31501.
All right. And, of course, we'd like to encourage everybody that's been listening. Radio does not come free. We appreciate here at the Size Radio Network anybody that would like to help us keep these shows on the air. And you could do that one of two ways. The first is via PayPal. If you use the PayPal platform, you enter the email address 6i6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, the digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, SIXEYES, the digit number 6@gmail.com. Or if you're a Cash App user, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter in the amount of your love gift. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And the good Lord will bless you very, very much. And we thank you here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. All right, so for Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, Brother Quick, and the whole gang here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want to say good night, God bless, and we'll catch you here tomorrow for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show at 9 p.m., and, of course, open programming on Saturday, and then 1 o'clock Eastern p.m. for the Gospel show right here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody.
Have a good night,
everyone. Thank you, madam. Bye-bye now. Good morning.
Time is?
Quarter after
10. I thought that it went off the air at 10. That's why the one time I thought he asked me just to pray, and then you...